Jess Hadley steps off the train in Paris at midnight, exhausted and nearly broke after losing her bartending job in London. The romantic city of lights she expected feels ominous in the darkness as she makes her way to her half-brother Ben's apartment in an elegant building that seems designed to keep people out. Anti-climb spikes line the walls, and shards of glass are embedded along the top. But the real shock comes when she arrives. Ben is nowhere to be found. His apartment feels wrong. His wallet, keys, and phone remain behind. A strange chemical smell lingers in the air. Most disturbing of all, hidden between the floorboards is Ben's broken St. Christopher necklace, something he never takes off. When she plays his final voicemail at maximum volume, she hears what sounds like an attack, a door opening, Ben saying, "What are you doing here?" followed by, "What the fuck?" then a groan and silence. The building's residents are equally unsettling. Each behaves strangely when Jess mentions her brother, giving evasive answers or outright lies. What happened behind these elegant facades, and why does everyone seem to be hiding something? The building itself becomes a character in this mystery, a physical manifestation of the secrets it contains. Behind its ornate Haussmann-era facade lie hidden passages with spy holes into each apartment, remnants of servant corridors creating a secondary circulation system through which secrets flow like veins. As Jess explores these pathways, she discovers how the building mirrors its social hierarchy. The Muniers in their prestigious penthouse overlooking the Seine, stepsons Nick and Antoine on the spacious middle floors, Sophie's daughter Mimi watching from the fourth floor, and the vigilant concierge maintaining her post in the cobblestone courtyard. In the basement, Jess finds Ben's red Vespa with its front wheel completely shredded, too damaged to be accidental. The building seems designed not just to keep outsiders away, but to trap secrets inside. Even Paris appears transformed, not the romantic city of postcards, but a place of stark contrasts, where the city's beauty feels like colorful wrapping hiding something evil. At a penthouse gathering, Jess discovers the neighbors are all connected. Nick is actually Nicolas Meunier, son of Jacques and stepson to Sophie. Anton, the alcoholic on the first floor, is Nick's brother, and shy artist Mimi is their half-sister. Each character hides behind facades. Sophie conceals her mysterious past with perfect makeup and designer clothes. Nick portrays himself as a successful tech entrepreneur despite his failures. Even Ben claimed to be a restaurant reviewer while conducting a deeper investigation. When Jess finds Ben's notebook containing cryptic notes about the residence and something called La Petite Mort, she realizes he was investigating them. Before she can decipher his discoveries, someone breaks in and steals the notebook. Mirrors function as metaphors throughout the story. Sophie examines her aging body, glimpsing her former self. Mimi creates self-portraits to understand her identity. Jess avoids mirrors entirely, unwilling to face herself. What truths are they all avoiding in their reflections?
"Families are overrated," Ben once told Mimi, and the Meuniers prove his point. Their dynamics are poisoned by rivalry and secrets. Jacques rules with an iron fist, pitting his sons against each other. Sophie maintains a perfect facade while hiding her past. Antoine drowns his bitterness in alcohol. Nick escaped to America for a decade before reluctantly returning. Mimi struggles with mental health issues and an unhealthy obsession with Ben. Through multiple perspectives, we learn the complex connections between Ben and this family. Nick reveals they were university friends who shared an intimate encounter in Amsterdam he's been running from. Sophie admits to a brief affair with Ben that ended when he asked too many questions. Mimi confesses watching him from her window, painting his portraits, and breaking into his apartment wearing lingerie. But she discovered shocking information about her family on his laptop that shattered her world. Later, she witnessed violence in Ben's apartment, possibly involving her father Jacques, revealing this wealthy, privileged family as a powder keg of resentments with Ben at the center. Jess's investigation shifts when she discovers a metal card with a gold firework design in Ben's wallet. Theo identifies it as credentials to La Petite Mort, a French euphemism for orgasm. Behind its upscale appearance lies something sinister. Through Irina, an employee who had helped Ben, Jess learns the establishment operates using wine terminology as code. Clients make requests through vintage selections that signal exploitation of vulnerable people. The operation targets immigrants arriving for supposed legitimate work. Their documents are confiscated, trapping them through manufactured debts. Irina reveals that 5 years ago, a young person died during a medical emergency, a death that went unreported. The investigation uncovers Sophie's complex past. Before marrying Jacques Meunier and entering Parisian society, she was allegedly victimized by this network, explaining her anxious behavior and protection of her social position. The prestigious Meunier family wine business serves as cover for this exploitation ring. Ben had uncovered this truth before his disappearance. The climax reveals what happened when Ben disappeared. Jacques Meunier, discovering Ben's investigation of the club, attacked him with an antique rifle. When Ben crawled to the window mouthing help, Mimi saw him from her apartment and rushed to his aid with her canvas cutting knife. Mimi's memories are fragmented, blood everywhere, her knife in hand, being pushed into a shower as pink water swirled around her feet. Sophie found her daughter covered in blood and, with the concierge's help, cleaned the scene. They wrapped what they believed was Ben's body in curtains and had Nick and Antoine bury it in the courtyard garden. In a shocking twist, Ben is discovered alive in the attic servants' quarters. If Ben survived, whose body did they bury? Sophie reveals the truth. Jacques died that night. Mimi had killed her father while protecting Ben. The final revelation. Sophie covered up her husband's death, telling her stepsons he was away. The concierge, actually Mimi's grandmother, helped hide Ben in the attic while he recovered. In the aftermath, Jess helps wounded Ben reach a hospital. Together with Theo and Irina, they expose La Petite Mort's operations, sending shockwaves through Paris's elite and triggering investigations. Antoine ends his life with an antique rifle as his family faces ruin. The concierge disappears strategically to southern France, taking valuables before vanishing. The story examines the cost of freedom. Sophie traded one confinement for another, Nick fled to America, escaping both father and self, and Ben's pursuit of truth nearly destroyed him. The novel questions whether freedom built on deception can truly exist. Characters' journeys suggest secrets poison authentic liberation. Those who confront their demons and speak truth survive, while those persisting in deception meet violent ends. As Jess boards her train to Rome, she moves toward a chosen future rather than fleeing her past. This suggests freedom comes not from escape, but from acceptance and truth. The price is high, but living in deception costs even more.